How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? Psalms, chapter 116, verses 12-17. Let us turn to a book of Psalms, chapter 116, verses 12-17. How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant, the son of your maidservant, you have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. There are three kinds of people out there that we come across as we live our lives. Firstly, there are people that have been blessed but do not give thanks. A person like Lot in the Bible would be an example of this kind of person. Abraham's nephew Lot lost the father in early age and Abraham brought Lot up. But when Lot was dividing the herds of sheep, Lot did not think of Abraham. He chose the herds of sheep earlier than Abraham. It seems that Lot did not know anything about being grateful for the kindness offered to him by Abraham. Secondly, there are people that have been benefited from the kindness offered to them, but repay like they would do to their enemies. For example, Judas would be in this category. He received love from Jesus as one of his disciples, but he sold Jesus for 30 silver coins. Thirdly, there are people who know about the grace and repay with thanksgiving. David would be a good example of this. As he wrote down words for Psalms, he realized about the grace of God and line by line, he composed Psalms with words that expressed his gratefulness for the Lord. Someone wrote a column with the title "Would a Successful Person Be Happy or Would a Happy Person Succeed?" An author of the book Smart Successes wrote in his book that rather than the probability of a successful person to be happy, it is likely that a happy person would be more likely to succeed. Sam Walton, who started the world's biggest Walmart business in the U.S., earned more than enough money to buy the entire city of Seattle. But what he said before he died was, "I have not lived my life properly." To help Walmart businesses to grow and expand, his day was all hectic and extremely busy. He hardly knew anything about his children. He could not even remember the half amount of his grandchildren's names. And when he reached the time to die, he regretted. Someone said that we do not give thanks because we are happy, but because we give thanks, we become happy. This is right. The happiest person is not a person that has the most belongings, but it is a person that feels thankful the most. It is a person that realizes and understands how grateful he or she is, and talks about how grateful he or she is. We should not wait till the good situations come near to us, but right now, today, in our given circumstances, we need to be able to look for the things to be thankful for. I hope your faith is like this. Complaints and blames are like the stones on a road. We do not try hard to look for these, but these are so easily noticeable. But thankfulness is like the jewels buried in the ground. If you do not dig deeper again and again and try to look for these, it is not easily noticeable by our sight. I think of these quite often and give thanks to God for the blessings. If we put it this way, say our lives have started from nothing, and then we learn that everything is a reason to be thankful for. If we put our point of comparison of our hearts on zero, then a piece of clothing that we have on ourselves and a bowl of rice that we are able to enjoy can be more than enough reasons to be grateful for. If we visit hospitals, there are so many patients. At times, when I am in the hospital, I feel that it is like a miracle that I am alive. Someone is having a hose attached to the nose for breathing. Someone is moaning because of pain. Someone is relying on the oxygen inhaler for breathing and extending the life that way. And someone else is paralyzed and nearly given up their lives because of the extreme pain. There were times that I felt it was so amazing that I was there praying for these patients. Compared to the dead people, just because of the fact that I am alive would be more than enough reason for me to give thanks all night. So David wrote in Psalms, chapter 50, And verse 23, He who sacrifices thanks offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. It means that a person that worships God through giving thanks pleases God. Paul also said, be thankful at all times. It is because to a thankful heart, happiness comes along. A half of year 2015 has already passed, and we are about to have the next half of 2015. We look back on this half year that has just passed and give thanks for all the blessings that we enjoyed because of God. Today is a Thanksgiving day that we give thanks for the first half of this year. I hope you will restore your thankful hearts. A restoration of grace is restoring thankfulness. In today's words, David gave thanks for three things. First of all, David realized about the grace of God and gave thanks. Verse 12 says, How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? If we know the grace, we live by paying it back. Once we realize that we have been blessed, then the very first word that comes up is thanks. We just give thanks. We do not give thanks just because there is a condition attached to it. We give thanks for the very little things. We give thanks for the saving grace. We give thanks for letting us to know about Jesus. And we give thanks for this time that we are able to come to worship the Lord in this place. We also give thanks for the fact that we are alive now and breathing. There is this saying. David confessed, How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. What does being a good son or a good daughter mean? It is a heart that has realized how thankful the children should be for the grace that the parents have given them. It is a heart of children that wants to repay to the parents for all the good things that they have provided to their children. Last time, I heard that a grown-up son shouted to his aged, frail parents, Did you inherit any of the things to me? Did you allow me to study? Did you educate me? Did you buy me a house? Like this, he argued to his parents and beat them up. This is a child that does not know anything about grace. Because the parents are there, I am here. Even just for this fact, we need to give thanks. It is the same with our faith, too. A mature faith realizes the grace of God and tries to repay for the blessings. Repaying is not thinking about what we would receive. It is thinking about what we would give in return. A person that really knows about the grace does not think of what we would receive but firstly, think of what we would give in return. David was like this. How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? He confessed that he will pay for the things that God has blessed him with. In verse 14, what is he saying that he will repay the Lord for? He was really grateful for the grace of God and remembered the time that he was in need of God's help. When he was having a difficult time, he asked the Lord for help and confessed his love to him. He promised and confessed to God that he will pay back for the grace of God. In the Bible, Hannah was like that and Iftah did what he really promised that he would do. David confessed that he will give what he said he will. This is what a person that has received grace is like. Rockefeller, that we all know well, was actually born in a poor family. Later he became a world-famous rich man. When he was 31 years old, the profit he had made was about $1 million. When he was 43 years old, he owned the biggest company in the U.S. And in 10 years' time, he became a billionaire and the richest man in the world. But at the time, he had a disease called alopecia. This disease causes a person to lose all the hair, all the eyebrows and lose the weight from entire body, and eventually causes a person to die. A doctor diagnosed him saying that he will not be able to live more than 1 year. Rockefeller remembered about what he promised to God when he was having a hard time in the past. And he prayed to God again, and promised that he will give his life unto him. And as promised, he built 4,928 churches in his lifetime. And he built 24 universities. And despite what the doctor had told him, He lived a healthy life till the age of 98, and went to the heaven. He had an enormous amount of wealth, but he kept his faith in a humble way. His faith was not changed, and he kept his faith strong. He later said that the reason for it was that his mother has passed faith on to him. Towards the end of his life, he built her Riverside Church to commemorate his mother. The church was built near the Hudson River in New York, Manhattan area. Until now, from the 22nd floor, bell rings every 12 o'clock and noon. When I went to that church before, a Korean organist Hyejung Cha was playing the organ. On the day that this church was being donated as an offering to God, the TV reporter had an interview with Rockefeller. "How could you have been able to be immensely blessed like this?" Rockefeller answered in return. "My mother was poor. But since I was little, she made sure that I would live by faith. And he gave me faith as her inheritance. I kept that faith. When I was 8 years old, we went to church together and she gave me 20 cents. Since that time onwards, she taught me three things very well. Firstly, tithes are God's. So you do not use it for yourself but give it to God. Secondly, make sure to always sit in the front in the worship services. Worship Him and spend the Sundays in a holy way. Thirdly, completely obey the words of the pastor and develop your character to be more mature. These three things were the wills of his mother." In the interview, he clearly said that he was able to be blessed because of the inheritance of faith that his mother passed on to him. That is right. Keeping to the promises we made to God is faith. David confessed that he will do as he promised to God for sure. He thanked God for all the blessings he poured onto his life. A mature faith is living our lives paying back to God for the blessings he has poured onto our lives. David confessed that he is thankful for the saving grace. Verse 13 says, "I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." This, in fact, was not thanksgiving at times of peace. He was giving thanks when he was having a hard time. Verse 8 says, "For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling." Here it says, "You have delivered my soul from death." This means dragged out, picked out from, saved from the situation where it is actually impossible for him to get out from. With his own strength, he was able to get out. It was a saving grace of God. In other words, David confessed that it was God that saved him from death, it was God that saved him from the valley of tears, and it was God that lifted him up when he stumbled. David thanked God in situations where it was impossible to be thankful. But he thanked God as he was passing by the valleys of tears and valleys of death. He thanked God in difficult situations and in tests. The hymn number 549 that we sing quite often, titled "My Jesus, As Thou Wilt," was composed by Reverend Schmolk. One day, he was visiting home of his church members. When Pastor Schmolk and his wife traveled far away to visit the homes of his church members and return home, their house was all burned. It was so completely burned down. They both hurriedly looked for their two young sons who were at home. But there was no answer. They were so worried and continued to look for them. They lifted up the ash pile and there were their two sons all burned, and hugging each other. They put their dead sons' bodies in front of them and knelt down on knees. They cried out to God. The comfort that God gave them became the lyrics of this hymn number 549. "My Jesus, as Thou wilt. Oh, may Thy will be mine. Into Thy hand of love I would my all resign. Through sorrow, or through joy, conduct me as thine own, and help me still to say, My Lord, thy will be done. My Jesus, as thou wilt. Through seen through many a tear, let not my star of hope grow dim or disappear. Since thou on earth hast wept, and sorrowed oft alone. If I must weep with thee, my Lord, thy will be done. My Jesus, as thou wilt. All shall be well for me. Each changing future scene I gladly trust with thee. Straight to my home above, I travel calmly on, and sing, in life or death, my Lord, thy will be done. In a situation where it is impossible to understand or comprehend, even though it is a situation which is only possible to blame, they thought of the Lord, and confessed that they will leave everything in life under the authority of God. It is a confession that cannot easily be made without a conviction of having saving grace for the heaven above. If we look at Psalms, verses by verses, it is all about the confession of thankfulness. They were not thankful just because they had good conditions. They were thankful because they were grateful for the saving grace. God told the Israelites to be thankful because they were saved from Egypt. The Bible talks about three kinds of saving grace. The first one is salvation of our souls. When we believe in Jesus and become the children of God, we get moved from death to life. The children of Satan become the children of God. The souls that were hell-bound are going to the heaven. The next one is the salvation of our souls. We begin to gain peace from worries, and we begin to gain hope from failures. From tension and anxiety, we get away, too. The other one is the salvation of our bodies. Our sicknesses get healed, we get restored from failures, and we get to get up again. In Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 6, it says, "Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it, I will heal my people, and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security." The salvation of God is a holistic salvation that includes all these three things. Not just souls, but spirits, bodies as well as our lives in reality get saved by God. So David thanked God for the salvation more than anything else. Paul confessed that because of Jesus Christ, I give thanks to God our Father for the saving grace at all times. Whenever it is a season for Thanksgiving, I always think of a testimony that a deaf person shared a long time ago. This person actually had an accident when he was young. He had his one leg cut from this accident, and because of this shock, he became a mute, a speech-impaired person. And then he became a deaf as well. He really blamed on his fate, blamed his parents and his situation. He attempted to commit suicide several times, and looked for chances to do that. But after he entered the special school for disabled people, he accepted Jesus and understood the love of God. He was so grateful for the fact that Jesus died and shed blood for him on the cross, and he wept for a long time. He was ever so grateful for the saving grace. His testimony was like this. All of you here today, why blame something? Why do you live your life like this, not thankful for the things given to you? Are you not all way better than me? You can speak the things you like to speak as you wish, and do you not have an ability to listen as well? I am so thankful for one thing, that Jesus saved me, and I am grateful for the saving grace, but why do you complain? When I heard this testimony, I thought something was piercing my heart. How many more things have I got than this person? But I was not thankful, and I was blaming, complaining all the time. I felt so ashamed. That night I cried out all night and repented. I confessed to God that night that I will live by giving thanks to God from then on. I cannot forget that still. It was not because of the conditions. We give thanks to God for the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ saved us and we became the children of God. Thirdly, David confessed that he will give thanks even in front of death. Verse 15 says, "In those days and at that time I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line." He will do what is just and right in the land. A person that lived by faith still gave thanks even in front of death. Even when David is close to death, he confessed that he will give thanks to the Lord and call upon the name of Jehovah. Everyone gets weaker in front of death, in fact, because people think that death is the end of all. Death is the scariest enemy for most things. There is no person that is strong in front of death. But even when the time of death got so close, there was a person that was looking forward to it and gave thanks for it. It was Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy, chapter 4, it says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We can see that Paul was looking forward to it in front of death. In the Bible, Moses was like that. In Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verse 7, it says, Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak nor his strength gone. He had four interesting features. Firstly, until he died, his eyesight did not get weaker. It meant that rather than the physical eyes, the eyes that looked up to God, the eyes of faith did not get weaker till the end. Secondly, his strength was still with him until he died. Thirdly, as verse 10 says, since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. No other prophet like Moses was risen again. The latter part of verse 10 proves that Moses was the one that the Lord knew face to face. David said in verse 15, that what is precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This means that a person of faith is of grace and blessings till the time of death. We have already spent a first half of this year, and now we are preparing for the next half of this year. This is a time when we look back on the first half and give thanks for the blessings that the Lord has poured onto us. What do we need to thank God for? We need to thank God in three ways. Firstly, we were told that with our souls and spirits, give thanks to God. In Psalms, chapter 103, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Do not forget the grace of God. Secondly, we need to give thanks to God with our hearts. In Colossians, chapter 3, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Confess from bottom of your hearts that you are thankful. Thirdly, we need to give thanks with our belongings. In Exodus, chapter 23, verse 15, says, celebrate the feast of unleavened bread, for 7 days eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. It means that show the Lord that you are grateful to him with the things that you gained by your work. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, giving thanks is a pathway of blessings. A true thanksgiving is not done with our lips only. We do not give thanks to God with our hearts only. We need confess with our own lips that we are thankful to the Lord and when we act in reality for the things that we are grateful for. That is a true thanksgiving and blessings of fruit will appear. As we look back on the first half of this year, I hope that you will remember the grace of God and give thanks for the blessings He has allowed you to have. I hope you will begin the next half of this year with grateful heart. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.